welcome everyone to another episode of Wrestle Chat Radio here on the Fan Junkies Radio Network. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, is the founder of WrestleChat.net, Brecklin Daniel. And also, we have a third co-host today, the great Jim Williams. First, Brett, how you doing, my friend?
We, the people, are happy to be here today on Wrestle Chat Radio.
Very nice. Jim, how you doing, pal?
I still miss Mike Adamly. No, I'm kidding. No, how's it going, guys? Great to be here.
It definitely is great to be here, and thank you for joining Brett and myself today for the fourth episode here of Wrestle Chat Radio. I can't believe we're already four episodes in. Unfortunately, we're not going to be a full hour today, but we will get there soon. We do promise you. I know we promised you that for the last couple episodes, but unfortunately, time is not on our side. First, let's get into it because we have a lot of things to talk about. First thing we're going to throw out here is the whole DDP, the House of Accountability. We saw photographic evidence. They got Scott Hall in their possession. Jim, this is something you really wanted to talk about. What do you think of all of this?
Well, you know, this is the absolute last chance for Scott Hall, no doubt in my mind. And there was a picture tweeted late last night, actually, during Raw. And Brett obviously picked it up with WrestleChat.net, among other sources. And they're at the airport in, I assume, Atlanta, and it's DDP on the left. It's Jake Roberts, who has cleaned himself up over the last 60 days tremendously, night and day on the right. And Scott Hall, disheveled, in a wheelchair. He just looks awful, absolutely awful. And this goes back to a video posted on Valentine's Day where DDP had actually reached out via cell phone. DDP and Jake called Scott and talked to him about the matter, and Hall said he had an awakening. And, of course, Scott Hall has said this a bunch of times. You don't know whether to believe it or not. But to see him actually there and the three of them together, not just for a cheap photo op, it gives a little bit of hope. But I maintain this, and Brett, maybe you agree. If anybody can turn Scott Hall from the brink of death back to life, for lack of better terms, back to his right, sane mind, it's Diamond Dallas Page. He's done wonders with Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Diamond Dallas Page, I mean, granted, though, really the only example we have is Jake Roberts. I mean, it's a solid example. Jake Roberts, when you think of wrestlers who have abused drugs and alcohol in pro wrestling, you think of Jake Roberts, you think of Scott Hall, you think of Sonny. They're probably the first few that come to everybody's mind. And so, I mean, yeah, he's done a great job of turning Jake Roberts around. Hopefully, Scott Hall sticks with it. If you guys watched the video last week, I'm sure you guys all saw it, the video where they make that phone call. I think it's a little over 10 minutes long, where they make the phone call to Hall to try to get him down there. It is absolutely heartbreaking. It is gut-wrenching. It is tough to watch. It's very emotional. But, you know, thank God for guys like DDP, who are willing to do this, open up his own home for these people, and help turn lives around. Even if it's not successful with Scott Hall, the fact that it was successful with just one guy means that it's a success. Yeah. That's all that's important.
Yeah, and it will definitely be successful with other people in the future. But you know, him getting Scott Hall clean, this is going to be something very, very big. Not only for DDP and of course for DDP Yoga, which is a big brand out there now, helping so many people. But it's going to be huge for wrestling in general, and our hats off to Diamond Dallas Page for all the great work that he's doing, and we hope to reach out to DDP and have him here on Wrestle Chat Radio as a guest one day in the future, so we can talk about that with him. It would be great.
It would be.
Absolutely. We do got a phone call, though, so let's get to a phone call real quick here, right off the bat, from the 763 area code. What's on your mind?
Yeah, this is Eric from Minnesota. I wanted to talk to you guys about the new WWE title and The Rock debuted last night.
Ah, yes.
Very nice, Eric. Very nice. So let's ask you real quick, what do you think about the new title?
I am happy that the Spinner title is finally put to retirement, because I never was a fan of the Spinner belt. And I know I've been hearing that people think that the new WWE title looks like a class ring, but I feel like it's a lot better than the Spinner title. I feel like it's a breath of fresh air for the WWE title.
Brett, what do you think, man?
Oh, I like it. I don't understand what all the complaining's for. We lived through the Spinner belt for 8 years. It looked like a toy. It was awful. It was ridiculous. We've all been crying for a belt for years. This new belt comes out. which I think is a fantastic looking belt. The logo is front and center. I think that's what's most important. I mean, I guess people are mad that we're not bringing back, you know, the eagle and the globe from 1988, and I guess that's what people want. But from what we've had, it's not going to get much better than what we had last night.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I like the belt. I like it a lot. I love it. I'm so happy that the spinner belt is gone. Jim, I hope you feel the same way, but I missed the nameplate already. I have to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, the nameplate would be nice, but they're compensating with that with the side plates that can
yes.
be customizable. So I can't wait till the real American gets it. Then we'll have We the People on there on the side and some fake bedazzled kind of thing. The only thing, and I agree, I miss the Big Eagle belt as well. But this is an upgrade after all. The spinner belt, they tried to get it to stop spinning, and of course it came off its moorings a few too many times.
Yeah, listen, man, I got to tell you, man, if Swagger wins it, I hope we get a customizable plate of a Texas Dirt Dutch Mantel. It's right in the sides, man. I'd love it.
Yes. Dutch Mantel before he ate a few people.
I don't think Jack Swagger will be getting close to that belt anyway.
No, he won't.
Belt's going to be won by John Cena, and it will have little moving hands on the side of it probably.
Whoa! It won't have the Super Cena logo on each side.
It may for a long time, unfortunately. But Eric from Minnesota, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. I like it, but I missed the nameplate already. So.
Yeah, all right. Point taken.
Yeah, real quick, let's get into the Elimination Chamber results so we can go on and talk a little bit about some other things. I guess let's talk about the three main matches first. Number one, Rock retains. We all knew that was going to happen. I didn't get to watch the pay-per-view, unfortunately. Hopefully both of you guys did. Brett, you first. How was the match, and how did The Rock look in this match?
The Rock looked really, really good in this match. I think that this match was much better, much, much better than the match that they had at Royal Rumble. I liked the false finishes. I liked the multiple ref bump. I liked all of it. I thought it was a great match. I really don't think they could do any better than what they just did. It was an excellent match. It was predictable, but it was an excellent match.
Yeah, Jim, what did you think of the match?
Brett hit the nail on the head. Predictable, a solid match, better than the outing at Royal Rumble. He told a better story, I think, leading into it and what have you. And, Paul Heyman takes a bump. I'm all for that every now and again. Paul's legendary. I'm not knocking Paul, but, you know, he actually took a little bump. It's proud of him. No, but it was a fine match, and, you know, Rock won cleanly as opposed to, and the point that Brett made on Twitter, now everybody can shut up because he lost to an elbow. Thank you. None of that crap. So.
Thank God. All right, man, we got to talk about the other one. Shield versus Ryback, Cena, and Sheamus. We all said, how did the Shield win this one? We hoped the Shield would win this one. And guess what? They did, Brett. Seriously, were you shocked? Were you surprised at all that the Shield won this contest?
This really did surprise me. And it's funny, that Sunday morning I was on Twitter and I was going back and forth with a lot of the readers of WrestleChat. And I actually said it word for word. There is no way that John Cena loses on the road to WrestleMania. Sure enough, I get egg all over my face, and they lose the match. It was a fun match. In the back of my mind, in my heart, I wanted the Shield to win. You know, they're fun, they're entertaining, they're great wrestlers. I didn't want to see that end, and hey, they get to keep it going for who knows how much longer. But it was an impressive showing, and if one match on there surprised me, it was that.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll talk more about the Shield at the end. We threw a question on WrestleChat's Twitter this morning saying, listen, what three people would you put together to beat the Shield? And we got a lot of great responses, and we're going to read some of them on air here. And at the same time, we're going to get Jim's pick, we're going to get Brett's pick, and my pick of a team of three that we'd put together that could defeat the Shield. So we'll get to that towards the later end of the show here. Let's talk about the Elimination Chamber itself. Jack Swagger won. Something that we spoke about here in the last WrestleChat Radio, Brett. And I got to say, I'm very pleased with Swagger winning this.
I am too. You will hear no qualms from me about this. I picked Jack Swagger to win this match on last Tuesday's episode of WrestleChat Radio. I think it was a giveaway after Zeb Coulter's promo last Monday.
Yeah.
It just absolutely seemed like they were going to do the whole anti-immigration Tea Party type figure for Jack Swagger. And it just seemed that it was being rushed so they could set up this match with Alberto Del Rio. One and one went together. It was a really, really good chamber match. Off the top of my head, I think it's a top three chamber match of all time. I thought it was entertaining. It was great. Chris Jericho stole the show once again. I mean, when doesn't he?
Yep.
It was a fantastic match. I mean, I have no problems at all with Swagger winning it. Do I want to see Swagger against Del Rio? No, but I'll take it.
All right. What do you think, Jim?
It's different, and that's a good thing, quite frankly. I kind of get shades of when Swagger won Money in the Bank, how it was kind of nobody expected it per se, well, outside of Bret. But then, for the record, by the way, I expected the Shield to win on Royal Rumble, or rather on during the Elimination Chamber back on Sunday. And
yeah.
For proof, go to CLW83.com and listen to the NAWC where I picked them. Smirk. Presented by WrestleChat.net. Smirk. No, but back to the... I'm a shameless self-promoter. What can I say? No, but seriously, going back to the Chamber, it was a fun match. Everybody got big spots in, and there are lots of compelling storylines after this. I mean, go back to the Team Hell No thing, what's going to go on there down the road. Swagger setting up with Del Rio. It's good stuff. I'm just ticked off that they had to take the U out of Zeb Coulter's name because, well, we don't want to associate him with Ann Coulter. But that's just...
You're a funny guy, man. And I got to tell you, I do love the English promotions that you do, especially when you do them on Fan Junkies Radio at fanjunkies.net.
That's right, fanjunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. Smirk.
Great stuff, man. All right, but you know what? Keeping with the whole Swagger talk here, let's talk about this angle, because this angle is it's kind of attitude-esque of what we're seeing here from Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. It's very controversial, especially what happened last night, that we even had people taking to Twitter, Lillian Garcia, who was in the WWE for many years, saying, "As a Latina, I am insulted by the comments made by Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger. America is a melting pot of amazing people." Did you guys have any problem at all with the comments from Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger last night? Because as we all know, it's them acting. You know, I'm sure they don't believe those comments, but... Now, on TV in 2013, what did you guys think of those comments from last night? And what do you think about the controversial gimmick here?
It's interesting. I mean, they can only go so far with it because we are in a more politically correct society, sad to say.
Yeah.
If this was 15 years ago, they could go full bore with this. They can't now, which is a shame. So you've got Zeb having to beat around the bush while saying things. I'll tell you what I do love about this. The fact that they have their own separate YouTube account now and promoting anti-immigration videos for this gimmick, I think it's a brilliant move, and you know people are going to be flocking to the YouTube to see what Zeb has to say next on this, delusional track of mine that he's on.
Absolutely. What do you think, Brett?
I don't know what to think. I like the new Swagger, and I like that they paired Zeb Coulter with him. I like the gimmick. I think it's old school. It's throwback of one of my favorite programs ever from 1991. Sergeant Slaughter playing the American who turned Iraqi war general. You know, that's what it reminds me of. And going against Hulk Hogan and all the things that he did, the burning of the American flags. He adopted the camel clutch as his finisher. He did the fake photograph with Saddam Hussein.
Iran number one.
this to me is a throwback to that. This is a lot different time. The viewer is much different now than they were back in the day. Back in that time, they used to be able to get away with things like this frequently because people were still under the impression that wrestling was real, or at least kind of still believed that. Now everybody knows it's not. Everybody knows it's entertainment. And
yeah.
I think that limits what they can and can't do. I don't know. This is borderline. It's just crazy to hear. It's unbelievable to hear today on the current programming. WWE is well known to push the limits. They're not afraid to do it. This just came out of nowhere. And it's I don't want to say racism because it's not that, but it is borderline racism. What they're doing, it's so tough to just convey what I actually feel about it. I like the gimmick, but I just hope they don't catch any crap because of it.
Yeah, well, listen, from all the gimmicks we've seen over the years where the U.S. was always the hero. The U.S. was always the great country. And Canada was the enemy. Iran was the enemy. Russia was the enemy. It's vice versa now. I mean, they're putting it off as U.S. is going against the immigration. And, of course, whoever is going to combat Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter here, whether it be Alberto Del Rio or, you know, whoever else they want to bring out and let them go against, they're going to be the heroes here.
Sort of, kind of. I mean, but by the same token, Alberto Del Rio is proof positive of the American dream, quote unquote. So
yes, yes.
It works both ways.
Yeah, so that's where my question lies. What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be that the guy they have going up against Jack Swagger, is he going to take the real America, the American dream, and put it against this kind of America where it's full of racism and full of terrorism and all this other stuff? Or is it going to be where we have the immigration side of it coming out where, yes, you know, people from Mexico and people from here and there can come here and combat against that kind of stuff in America? I mean, where could they really go with this kind of an angle, Brett?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know if it's going to last very long. It seems like it's a program just set up for this run against Alberto Del Rio. Maybe it goes over to Extreme Rules after. But who knows? But the whole just the whole idea of this gimmick and where it comes from is very interesting. I mean, it follows right after election season with Linda McMahon losing and Eric Darcy, who just called in a little bit ago, he actually just tweeted me a link about how a lot of people on Twitter and the internet are really really going crazy because they feel like the WWE is using this character to demonize Tea Party Americans as racist. I'm just scrolling through it right now, and
there's something to that, I think.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, they're really overreacting to it, I guess we can say. But let me ask you this now that they're out there. Let's get away from the whole racist part of it and against immigration part. Now, if Jack Swagger wins the belt, and we've seen Jack Swagger have the belt before, if they get away from this angle, can we see Jack Swagger be as successful as he is right now without Dutch Mantel by his side?
No, absolutely not, because he can't speak. And I don't mean this as a knock on him, well, even though it is. He doesn't have the total package. He's fine in the ring. No, well played. No, I mean, to be an effective superstar in this day and age, you have to not only perform in the ring, but you have to perform on the mic, and he lacks mic skills.
I'm a real American.
Jeez. Fight for the right of the Swagger Soaring Eagle.
Well, listen, I love Swagger as an entertainer. I love him as a wrestler. You said it right. He is poor in the mic. I don't think he could be successful without Dutch Mantel by his side. How are they going to do that, though?
And it's a moot point of even thinking about him as the champion, because we all know Ziggler's going to cash in on whoever. So, yeah.
Yeah, this program is going to be short term. I don't think it's going anywhere long. Susan Parkinson on Twitter just said, doesn't this go against the anti-bullying stand, the BSTAR, that the WWE keeps promoting? And it's a fair question.
Everything. Everything goes against BSTAR. You can make a case about every storyline that it goes against BSTAR.
Yeah, and we spoke about that before, Brett. Everything that we see them doing now goes against the whole BSTAR campaign.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're setting an example for something that they can talk about at their next BSTAR rally.
Exactly.
I wonder. You know,
Stephanie out, so that's okay.
Yeah, just really wonder where they can go with that. But I like the angle. Like I said, it's more attitude-esque, but now in 2013, with the world changing and the world going into a whole new direction, you know, like you said before, just hope they don't get burned by it, because this is something that could really burn them and burn them good. So
we the people, yes.
We the people, because I'm a real American, I tell you. So let's keep Mantel in there somewhere.
It's wrong on so many levels.
No, it's not. It's not wrong. Okay.
He said it in the character voice. That's why.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Shield here. We threw out a question on Twitter today saying, okay, if Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus can't beat the Shield, probably three of the biggest wrestlers in WWE, who would you put together to beat the Shield? And we had some really, really good answers back here on Twitter, and I'm going to read out a few real quick, and then I'll get to you guys, you know, to see what we can go. Toxic Angel, who we love here at Wrestle Chat Radio, she said CM Punk, Jericho, and Stone Cold. We got Jose Lopez Jr. on Twitter saying Stone Cold, Undertaker, and The Rock. AJ Herrera saying Bill Goldberg, Ultimate Warrior, and Brock Lesnar. Marty Duran, Stone Cold, Sting, and John Cena. There's been a lot of them. We have the Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and HBK. We have Hogan, Undertaker, Stone Cold. We even had a Ted DiBiase Jr. and Miz with John Cena, which I was very shocked about, as well as Flair, Anderson, Blanchard, and Wyndham. Or is that cheating? So says Robot Hammer on Twitter. Like some of these things. Let's start with you real quick, Jim. If you could put together any three wrestlers, current and former, from the present, from the past, who would you put together to combat the Shield?
Guys, I mean, this is no disrespect to the Twitter followers, and we thank you for those comments, by the way. It's so easy. You get the Goon, Brother Love, and the Shockmaster, and it's on. Okay, you want a serious one? All right, I'll be serious then. Reaching a little bit of here and a little bit of then. The here and now, Lesnar. I think Lesnar would kill them. Mark Henry, because, well, somebody's got to get their ass whipped. And just for fun, considering we saw him back on old school Raw and he still had it, Sid.
Nice. I like that. You know, I didn't even think about that. I like Sid. Brett, where are you going with this, man?
Oh, jeez. I don't even know.
You're just jealous you couldn't come up with a Shockmaster. That's what you are.
Well, I was at work this morning. I was in a meeting and I didn't even get a chance. I didn't even notice that you sent out this question on Twitter. So I'm kind of on the spot.
You don't need to think about it. We all come out off the top of your head, man.
Off the top of my head, three guys. Well, I mean, if they really beat the three marquee guys from now. You know what? Let's go way back to when they used to do the Survivor Series, and at the end of the night they'd do the Survivors and they'd face off against each other. I would go with Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
I like that. I think that's a team that could actually beat the Shield. Me, I'm gonna go a little bit of a different way. I'm gonna go with the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with The Undertaker, but in his prime. We ain't talking about The Undertaker over the last bunch of years here.
Mm-hmm.
Third one is really, really hard for me. Something I've been thinking about for a while now. And I'm going to throw it out there, man. One of the guys I've always loved, a guy that could take a beat and always come back. I'm going to go for the Land of Extreme. I'm going to go with Rob Van Dam. I'm going to throw him right in there.
I like it.
Going to throw them right in there. I think that's a team that could really beat them. You know, we've had a lot of great suggestions. Now, let's talk about the Survivor Series here a little bit, because that's something that could potentially be something really big here if we could do a Survivor Series match of the Shield versus, you know, four guys, good and bad, face and heel in the WWE. But we would have to see the Shield possibly add another member. Let's ask this. Brett, do you see the Shield possibly adding another member down the line?
I don't know if they're going to add another member, but I really think that Chris Jericho is in this whole angle now. We've been hearing for weeks that Jericho may possibly be doing a WrestleMania program with Ryback. Last night, a lot of people thought it was completely random that Chris Jericho throws himself into this whole feud. I really am expecting somewhere in here, maybe Chris Jericho, I don't know if he's going to join the Shield, but maybe reveal himself kind of as a guy who is mentoring the Shield, who believes a lot in him, who maybe he sees a lot of himself when he was younger in those guys. And maybe that's how that program with Ryback comes along. I was actually thinking about this earlier this morning, whether it could be a 4-on-4 match with Jericho and the Shield against Ryback and who knows, Sheamus, Orton, maybe somebody else with them as well. Or maybe it could be Ryback versus Jericho, like a lumberjack match, maybe with the Shield was out there and then Ryback would have a few guys. I don't know, something like that. But I could actually see Chris Jericho working with them.
That's interesting. I mean, you know what? And WWE has a habit of using Chris Jericho in a lot of the wrong spots.
he's only there to put people over at this point.
Exactly.
You need to get over it.
No, he is. And you got to give him credit because, honestly, there's nobody out there that could put a guy over like Chris Jericho can. I mean, the guy can do it all.
You're absolutely right.
The guy could do it all. As everybody said, he's basically stole the show at the Elimination Chamber match, and we knew he wasn't winning. So
yeah, he stole the show 2 pay-per-views in a row, really. I mean, the Royal Rumble performance was incredible for a guy who wasn't, you know, who hadn't been doing it regularly for a while. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, have you guys ever seen a guy go away for lengths at a time and come back and still be as popular, even more popular, and still as great as he was in a ring now than he was 12 years ago?
No.
Not really, no. Can't.
I think if it's not Jericho, I think another guy that would make easy sense would be CM Punk. I don't think they're going to go that route, but I think that would be another guy, if anybody. And maybe that does happen if the Undertaker thing doesn't follow through.
Well, the association's already there in place with Punk, Heyman, and the Shield, so it's a natural already built in. So.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. With Vince McMahon, you know, towards the end of his rope in his career here, and you know Triple H taking over, could we see a possible heel turn here and Triple H is behind the Shield? Good angle? What do you think?
Not a bad idea. I would lean towards no, at least right now. I would never doubt anything, per se. It's been a while since the Evil Doc's been a heel. That would be interesting to see again. Possible.
Well, let me ask you this now. Brett, throw this out to you. Do you see the Shield sticking around for a long time? Or is this going to be another Nexus where it's going to be ripped apart one seam at a time?
And I've been thinking about that too. I really don't know at this point. I just don't see them losing. If Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus are not going to beat them, kayfabe, I don't see why anybody else should be able to beat them.
Yeah.
I don't know. My guess would be maybe something. I believe this is how the Nexus broke up, but something along the lines of where if they lose, you know, they have to go away or they're fired or something like that, and then they eventually come back kind of all doing their own thing. I can kind of see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. What do you think, Jim? Do you see anything like that happening?
Well, I mean, doesn't this build to the crescendo at the granddaddy of them all in New York, New Jersey, for the Shield to finally get their comeuppance? Granted, I think they last for a little while, probably a few more months, and then maybe to Brett's point, they kind of are put to the breaking point, and they eventually come back as separate entities.
Yeah, it's you know what, you just have to wonder, if the big guys can't beat them and they're going to go on a roll like that, what are they saving it for? Who are they saving them for? Because there's really nobody that could come back and make a lot of commotion by beating the Shield. You know, The Rock's already here. Brock Lesnar's already here. I doubt you're going to see that. Who else could possibly come back to beat the Shield? I just don't see anybody.
There is
it. Off the top of my head, no. I don't know either.
All right, well, just throwing that out there for everybody listening here, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little stumped on the whole matter. So, but
it's
it'll
a
be
good
nice
storyline. Kudos to the WWE for putting these guys together. They're young guys. They didn't spend a lot of time in down at NXT, and they've given these guys the ball, and they said, "Hey, run with it." And credit to all three of them equally. They're
exactly.
All playing their parts perfectly. They're intriguing. They're refreshing. They're exciting. They find ways to win. And whether people like them or not, those three guys, when it's all said and done, will all have very good WWE careers because they are all extremely talented, well-rounded individuals.
Absolutely.
And I think they're all under the age of 30, which is also a plus and a half. And I've got to say, they're doing more now in the short time they've been involved in the E than the Nexus ever did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But who knows? Maybe you see another, guys coming in from the Indies to join the Shield down the line and then making them a big stable. Maybe a Luke Cox. You never know.
Maybe Luke Cox, maybe Chris Hero.
You never know. You know, there's a lot of guys out there, so. All right, everybody, that's it for the show today. We want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen to Wrestle Chat Radio. This is our fourth episode, and we'll be here every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. We're eventually going to go to a full hour. Don't know when, but it will happen soon, and we are trying to line up some guests here for the show. We have been in talks with some people already. We're just trying to get schedules to click in, as it only is once a week show here. So for Jim Williams, Jim, thanks for joining us, and for our founder here, Brett Clendaniel from WrestleChat.net. I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, for episode 5 of WrestleChat.net. Have a good day, everybody.